I'm going to try to preach right now. I want to read two parts of Scripture. Hosea chapter 3. Okay, when you get there, and then I'm going to go to Hosea chapter 11. Hosea chapter 3. You got it? Say we got it. And the Lord said unto me, an adulteress according to the love of the Lord toward the children of Israel, who look to other gods and love flagons of wine. So I bought her to me for 15 pieces of silver and for a homer of barley and a half a homer of barley. And I said unto her, thou shalt abide with me many days. Thou shalt not play the harlot. Thou shalt not be for another man, so will I be for thee. Now, you must understand this situation, because I've heard a lot of people who, in their stupidity, don't know what they're talking about. And I've read lots of articles, and they take dumb to a new level. The Lord did not tell him to marry a whore or a harlot. That's not what he told him. He was already married to Hosea. Hosea had departed from him. And now she was in the role of an adulteress or an immoral woman. And the Lord told her, okay, go get her back. And love her according to the love of the Lord towards the people of Israel. Because I've read lots of articles like he told her to marry an immoral woman. That's nuts. That's not what he said. She was already married. You read the previous chapter. They had children. Okay? And then she departed from him. And the Lord said, go back and love her again and bring her back to you. And so he purchased her. This is a great message for backsliders. And the rest of you that are kind of cold. Amen. So that's what happened. Now let's go to chapter 11. And the Lord is speaking. And he said, when Israel, verse 1, when Israel was a child, then I loved him, and I called my son out of Egypt. Now you understand what he's doing now. It's another story. He's going back in history, and he's saying, remember when I brought you out of Egypt's bondage? You were my son. You were scoundrels. You were wackos. You were sin-loving idiots, but I loved you. And so I redeemed you. And I supernaturally brought you out of your bondage. Okay? You got to hear me. Condition doesn't matter to God. He can override condition. Oh, I wish I had a Pentecostal church I was talking to. Said, I love my son and called them out of Egypt. And as they called them, so they went from them, and they sacrificed unto Baal. He said, the minute I brought them out, they went into idolatry, and they burned incense and graven images. I taught Ephraim, now watch this, 4 or 5 times, personal pronoun, I, said, I taught Ephraim also to go, taking them by their arms, but they knew not that I healed them. Watch, I drew them with the cords of man, with the bands of love. I was to them as they that take off the yoke on their jaws, gave them relief. And he said, in Israel, I laid meat unto them. He shall not return unto the land of Egypt, but the Assyrian shall be his king, because he refused to return. And the sword shall abide. He's talking about what's going to happen in the future and consume them, blah, 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 because of their own counsels. Now watch verse 7. And my people are bent to backsliding from me. And all I did was good to them. But they think I'm stupid. I don't know what I'm talking about. And he said, so I've been good to them, but they're bent on backsliding from me. Though they call them to the Most High, none at all would exalt him. Now here we go, here we go. Now you got this. God has given a record and a declaration of what he has done for people. Okay? Now he also tells them what's going to happen in the future for the people. But now he goes into a situation that's mind-boggling. Okay? He's talking to himself. He don't need nobody else's help. He can talk to himself. He said, "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? I taught you how to walk, and I fed you, and I loosed you from your bondage, and I took the yoke off you, and I healed you, and I blessed you. But you're acting so crazy. You're acting like I'm some dummy, and you're smart." And so he says, "So because of the record of my dealing with you, and because of your terrible response to me," watch what he says, "judgment demands justice. But mercy pleads for pardon." Boy, there ought to be a thrill and a smile on everybody's kisser in this house right now. If God would reward, would mark the stupid stuff that you and I have done in mercy. Let me just go another minute. I know you're ready to leave and go eat. Just bear with me. Just another minute. "How shall I give thee up, Ephraim? I make thee as Admah. How shall I set thee as Zeboim?" Those were the two cities that were sister cities to Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, I turn them to ashes. Shall I turn you to ashes? Shall I release my judgment on you that you deserve it? So God, I feel like preaching till my socks fall off. "Mine heart is turned within me. My repentings are kindled together." That word repentings, all right, but it's not the original word. The original word is my compassions. They're kindled within me. Watch this. "I will not execute the fierceness of mine anger. I will not destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of thee, and I will not enter into the city." So God gives a record. Then he gives a declaration of his turmoil. And then he gives us, "My decision is, I'm going to set you free." Woo! No wonder the book says, "Saved by grace." I want to talk to you for just a little bit right now. I want to talk to you. Sinners in turmoil need a God in turmoil. Lord, help me to preach real good. Save people, heal people, deliver people. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you again for coming. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Maybe I ought to put a subtitle on that. Robert, you can take it overseas and do it. The Day Love Won. If you don't remember anything else that I'm saying today, please remember this. Because I am speaking from the posture and platform of a Pentecostal preacher. And we Pentecostal preachers preach against everything but fresh air. We try to get you people to stop doing all kinds of stupid stuff. We try to get you to change the way you look, the way you live, the way you act. We're always trying to get you to turn, to change. And it's all of a sudden, after 40 some odd years of preaching, the Holy Ghost speaks to me and says, "You know, you got the cart before the horse." I said, "What am I doing wrong?" He said, "Here's what you got to tell the people. They've got to meet the love of God before they stop loving sin and self. You don't need rules. You need relationship. You don't need the commands of what you shouldn't do. You need to be persuaded that God loves you in spite of who you are and what you've done." Well, I appreciate the six of you that clap, and I'm going to say it again. Rachel, thank you for clapping. Are you ready? Everybody needs to meet the love of God before they ever leave the love for sin and self. I can give you all kinds of scriptures to prove you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. The scripture said you shouldn't do this, leave this alone, don't do that. And I'm right on all that stuff. But I can never help you until you become persuaded. I'm loved by a love that will not let me go. I am loved by a God who loves me in spite of my stupidity and my sinfulness and my wrongs. And he wants me to win and he doesn't want me to lose. Woo! Boy, I wish I had Brother Hinode's voice or Sister Carrie's voice or a few other people that can sing. I feel like singing right now. I know Dean does sound terrible, but when I was a boy, and that was a few days ago, my mom and dad used to sing this song at our house all the time. Now, I realize it wasn't a Christian song, but it had good principles. Anybody ever heard this song? You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always crush the sweetest rose until the petals fall. You always hurt that one with a carefree word that you cannot recall. So if I hurt your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all. I realize that doesn't impress you at all. Let me tell you something. I'm never going to get you to live for God like you ought to until you become so pregnated, equipped, and persuaded that I am loved by the love of God long before I am hated and detested by the justice of God. And because I am persuaded He loves me, I come back to the altar to pray. I come back to the throne of grace to pray. I thank God for His conviction every day because God is in turmoil. Sit down. Israel has become what He called whoredoms and adulterers because they were into idolatry. It wasn't just physical immorality. It was spiritual immorality. And they had joined themselves to false gods and false deities and false doctrine. Now, did I make a good statement just now? You'll never leave the love of sin or self till you first meet the love of God. I meant to say hi to you senior and you junior. Okay, now you've been noticed. That's good. Fine. And all the Eastmans are here. We thank for everybody that's here. You got to hear me. I think one of the reasons why some of you sweet people do not live for God like you should, like you could, like you ought, is because you're not persuaded He loves you. You're persuaded He's against what you're doing. Now, I know a cop is against what I'm doing, and I'm really persuaded He don't love me. But when God gives us mandates and commandments and rules and regulations, it flows out of the purest form of love there ever could be. And when God tells us not to do something, it's because He loves us. I'm not going any further. You got to turn and look at three or four people and say, He loves me. Now turn around and say, I have no reason not to love Him back. He loved me when I was unlovable. He loved me when I was acting crazy. He loved me when I could have been taken out into eternity. He loved me when I was a drunk, a whoremonger, a liar, a drug addict, a wacko. He loved me. And He has not stopped loving me since I become His legal child. You've got to meet the love of God first. Not the law of God. Not the commandments of God. Not the mandates of God. You've got to meet the love of God first. Or you will not abandon the love for sin. And you won't abandon the love for self. I have been beat up and accused for years, and rightly so, that I have had a real problem with our movement. United Pentecostal Church, great group of people, but I have 40 years I've been screaming and preaching. You know, I'm really worried about the Pentecostal movement. Their manual outweighs the Bible. We got more rules and regulations than you could shake a stick at. It's real easy. Love the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. On this hang all the law and the prophets. Right now, you've got to believe what I'm trying to tell you. You've got to believe that God loves you unconditionally. I don't care if you're smoking, you're drinking. I don't care if you're puffing. I don't care if you're doing heroin. I don't care if you're watching dirty movies. I don't care if you're a sleaze bag with your morals. I don't give a flip. God loves you unconditionally. And He wants to turn you around. And He loves you with such a purity of love. He won't bring up your past. He won't bring up your yesterday. He won't shame you. He won't embarrass you. People might do it, but God will never do it. Woo! I feel so encouraged right now. And we got a house full of backsliders. Glad you're here. I got a message for you. God wants you back. Don't care how long you've been gone. I don't care how bad you've acted. God wants you back. And if you and I are like sinners in turmoil, there's hope for us. Because before God deals with us in our turmoil, He's got to conquer the turmoil that's in His own heart. Now, He's perfect. Now, maybe you disagree that God doesn't get in turmoil. Really? When I read that, God is asking Himself, how can I give you up? And the justice of God and the judgment of God says, mercy jumps up front and says, ah, forgive them. Ah, pardon them. Ah, turn them around. I'm sermon on blocks of wood. Two of the most piercing words that have ever been spoken to me in my whole life came from the lips of my mother when I was a little boy. You see, now something, where's Olanda? Is Olanda here? I don't see her. No, she's not here? Okay, Olanda's like acid woman. She raised them kids, man, with barbed wire and a whip. She did a good job doing it. That's fine. There wasn't a husband around to help her. Fine. She had to be husband and wife. Fine. But for most of us, at least in my life, when I messed up and violated what my dad told me not to do, see if we got it right now. I know your mom, Phil. I know Sister Holly was an acid woman. I mean, she could tell you how to cow eat the cabbage. I understand that. But for most part, when I messed up, my dad responded in anger. And his response was always punishment and correction and yelling and restriction. You're in the house for 7 years. You sit on that couch for 3 weeks. We're not even feeding you. Now, my mom could get ticked off and mad, but when my mom found out I did something stupid, like I got arrested by the cops when I was 10 years old, me and Bruce were thieves, breaking into places, robbing places. We got arrested 10 years old. Can you imagine that, 10 years old? 162-389-573-9265-32. Now watch, I'm getting back to what I said before. The two most wounding words I've ever heard. Aeon, listen to me. This is so powerful. Here's what it was. When my mom found out I was arrested by the police, or I broke into a place, or I did something shameful, my mother's response was, oh, Jeffrey. Not my father. Boom, 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 boom. Not my mother. Watch. Because, see, we need to understand something. I'm trying to get it to you before I leave this world. Sin violates God's commandments. But what we don't understand is sin breaks His heart. And some of you, if you understood this morning that your antics and your shenanigans and your foolishness did more than violate the law and break the law. Yes, it does do that, but it does part of God, because God loves you unconditionally and God wants you to win at life. And if we could grasp the fact that some of our stuff is hurting and breaking the heart of God, we would be more careful on what. See, when I did my stupid stuff as a kid, George was ready to knock my block off because he was angry, because he was the law. But my mother, Mildred, now she got mad and she could give me a whipping, but Millie was mercy. George, you're out of here for 7 years. Millie, I'll fix your supper later. You're not getting it yet. That's what I see in this thing right here. When he turns around and he says, I found you in slavery. You were slaves in Egypt. And I reached and I redeemed you. And I sent Moses and I sent miracles and signs and wonders. And I sent the blood of the Lamb to be over there so the angel wouldn't kill you. And I loved you even though you were not lovable. I loved you anyway. Even though you were just as guilty as the Egyptians. I loved you. And I brought you out. Watch. And I fed you. And I healed you. And I took the yoke off you so you could have mercy. And you don't think I love you. But I do love you. And just because I ask you to not do some things, that doesn't mean I don't love you. Can you get the picture? I know it's in my mind. Get the picture. Okay, Israel's done all this stuff. They've come on whoredoms. They're spiritually whores. That's what they are. That's what the Bible calls them. They're having whoredoms. They're making love to other gods and other deities and false doctrines. The Lord called that adultery. It was always spiritual adultery. Well, he let Hosea get into the mess he was in, so the havoc in hell that was in Hosea's life would get in God's heart. Go yet love a woman, love of her neighbor. What does that? Bore him children. She got immoral. She got loose with her morals. She left to walk with God, or maybe you were closer to God than you are now. Listen to you. You may have left him. He's not stopped loving you. He has not stopped loving you. I wish I could get a witness from somebody that you really believe that in love by a love that will not let me go. I'm loved by a God that loved me before I was unlovable. When judgment gets ready to come, because judgment flows out of justice, and he gives the declarations, he goes, look, this is what I did for you. I brought you out. I set you free. I redeemed you. I brought you to myself. I gave you my law. I fed you. You had manna. You had water. I had angels. What in the world? And you just turned around and went whoring around. Divine justice said, I got to deal with this. And before the gavel, ever hits the thing, mercy slips in. And mercy pleads for grace. And mercy pleads for restoration. And mercy pleads for forgiveness. You're not hearing me. There's a turmoil in the heart of God, Phil. He said, how shall I give thee up? How shall I make you like those two cities? How shall I judge you? I love you so much, I loathe to punish you. If I can find a way not to punish you, and way, you don't have to damn them. You don't have to condemn them. You can show mercy to them. You can show forgiveness to them. You can turn them around. You can let them start all over again. You always hurt the one you love. The one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always crush sweetest rose until the petals fall. You always say the worst thing on a hasty word that you can't recall. I just wonder in my own life, ever since I put this together the last few days, I've been praying day and night. Lord, I'm so sorry I've hurt you. I'm so sorry. You know, I know we got rules and regulations. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. I say things I shouldn't say. But it wasn't until like this week that God turned around and said, you have any idea how much you hurt me when you do that? Now, you say what you want. Maybe I'm a sick jerk. But it never did bother me very much. I never gave any consideration to hurting my father. He was made out of iron, ore, and steel. He only had one way. He was like the army. My way, the highway. That's it. It's what we do. But I was loath to hurt my mother. Let me try it again. Oh, Jeffrey. When she would say that to me, my heart would sink into my sock. When my father would say, when I get you home, I'll beat your brains out. As soon as I get you home, I'll knock you for a loop. I'll knock you into tomorrow, buddy. I'm going to put up with this. And my mother would just sit there with tears running down her face and say, you can't put him up for adoption. You can't go make him live with grandma. Make him leave and go live with his aunt. Put him in reform school. And my mother's there. Give it.
Give him mercy.
See, some people who are so adamant and strong about everything that's right don't know how to spell mercy. But I heard James turn around and said, you folks that don't show mercy, you're never going to receive mercy. Let me go a little further. And mercy rejoices against judgment. That's the one thing that gets happy in heaven when God's getting ready to judge somebody and the mercy of God jumps up and said, I'd rather pardon you than punish you. I wish I could get a witness right now. Are there any parents here? Never mind the fakers. I mean parents. Real parents, that you know that when your children do something stupid or bad, yeah, you might get miffed, you might get upset, you might get perturbed, but before you bring judgment, you're going to show grace, you're going to show mercy, you're going to show kindness. You're not going to let somebody else punish your kids. And I realize sometimes you look at people and say, well, they never punish their kids, they never, oh yeah. The most piercing words that have ever been spoken to me in my whole life came from the lips of my mother when I was a little boy. You see, now something, where's Alonda? Is Alonda here? I don't see her. No, she's not here? Okay, Alonda's like acid woman. She raised them kids, man, with barbed wire and a whip. She did a good job doing it. That's fine. There wasn't a husband around to help her. Fine. She had to be husband and wife. Fine. But for most of us, at least in my life, when I messed up and violated what my dad told me not to do, see if we got it right now. I know your mom, Phil. I know Sister Holly was an acid woman. I mean, she could tell you how the cow ate the cabbage. I understand that. But for most part, when I messed up, my dad responded in anger. And his response was always punishment. And correction, and yelling, and restriction. You're in the house for 7 years. You sit on that couch for 3 weeks. We're not even feeding you. Now, my mom could get ticked off and mad, but when my mom found out I did something stupid, like I got arrested by the cops when I was 10 years old, me and Bruce were thieves, breaking into places, robbing places. We got arrested 10 years old. Can you imagine that, 10 years old? 162-38-957-392-6532. Now watch, I'm getting back to what I said before. The two most wounding words I've ever heard. Aeon, listen to me. This is so powerful. Here's what it was. When my mom found out I was arrested by the police, or I broke into a place, or I did something shameful, my mother's response was, oh, Jeffrey. Not my father. Boom, 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 boom. Not my mother. Watch. Because, see, we need to understand something. I'm trying to get it to you before I leave this world. Sin violates God's commandments. But what we don't understand is sin breaks his heart. And some of you, if you understood this morning that your antics and your shenanigans and your foolishness did more than violate the law and break the law. Yes, it does do that. But it does part of God, because God loves you unconditionally. And God wants you to win at life. And if we could grasp the fact that some of our stuff is hurting and breaking the heart of God, we would be more careful on what... See, when I did my stupid stuff as a kid, George was ready to knock my block off because he was angry, because he was the law. But my mother, Mildred, now she got mad and she could give me a whipping, but Millie was mercy. George, you're out of here for 7 years. Millie, I'll fix your supper later. You're not getting it yet. That's what I see in this thing right here. When he turns around and says, I found you in slavery. You were slaves in Egypt. And I reached and I redeemed you. And I sent Moses and I sent miracles and signs and wonders. And I sent the blood of the Lamb to be over there so the angel wouldn't kill you. And I loved you even though you were not lovable. I loved you anyway. Even though you were just as guilty as the Egyptians. I loved you. And I brought you out. Watch. And I fed you. And I healed you. And I took the yoke off you so you could have mercy. And you don't think I love you, but I do love you. And just because I ask you to not do some things, that doesn't mean I don't love you. Can you get the picture? I know it's in my mind. Get the picture. Okay, Israel's done all this stuff. They've come on whoredoms. They're spiritually whores. That's what they are. That's what the Bible calls them. They're having whoredoms. They're making love to other gods and other deities and false doctrines. The Lord called that adultery. It was always spiritual adultery. Well, he let Hosea get into the mess he was in, so the havoc in hell that was in Hosea's life would get in God's heart. Go yet love a woman, love of her neighbor. What does that bore him? Children. She got immoral. She got loose with her morals. She left to walk with God, or maybe you were closer to God than you are now. Listen to you. You may have left him. He's not stopped loving you. He has not stopped loving you. I wish I could get a witness from somebody that you really believe that in love by a love that will not let me go. I'm loved by a God that loved me before I was unlovable. When judgment gets ready to come, because judgment flows out of justice, and he gives the declarations, he goes, look, this is what I did for you. I brought you out. I set you free. I redeemed you. I brought you to myself. I gave you my law. I fed you. You had manna. You had water. I had angels. What in the world? And you just turned around and went whoring around. Divine justice said, I got to deal with this. And before the gavel, ever hits the thing, mercy slips in. And mercy pleads for grace. And mercy pleads for restoration. And mercy pleads for forgiveness. You're not hearing me. There's a turmoil in the heart of God, Phil. He said, how shall I give thee up? How shall I make you like those two cities? How shall I judge you? I love you so much, I loathe to punish you. If I can find a way not to punish you, and way, you don't have to damn them. You don't have to condemn them. You can show mercy to them. You can show forgiveness to them. You can turn them around. You can let them start all over again. You always hurt the one you love. The one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always crush sweetest rose until the petals fall. You always say the worst thing on a hasty word that you can't recall. I just wonder in my own life, ever since I put this together the last few days, I've been praying day and night. Lord, I'm so sorry I've hurt you. I'm so sorry. You know, I know we got rules and regulations. Sometimes I do things I shouldn't do. I say things I shouldn't say. But it wasn't until like this week that God turned around and said, you have any idea how much you hurt me when you do that? Now, you say what you want. Maybe I'm a sick jerk. But it never did bother me very much. I never gave any consideration to hurting my father. He was made out of iron, ore, and steel. He only had one way. He was like the army. My way, the highway. That's it. It's what we do. But I was loath to hurt my mother. Let me try it again. Oh, Jeffrey. When she would say that to me, my heart would sink into my sock. When my father would say, when I get you home, I'll beat your brains out. As soon as I get you home, I'll knock you for a loop. I'll knock you into tomorrow, buddy. I'm going to put up with this. And my mother would just sit there with tears running down her face and say, you can't put him up for adoption. You can't go make him live with grandma. Make him leave and go live with his aunt. Put him in reform school. And my mother's there. Give him mercy. See, some people who are so adamant and strong about everything that's right don't know how to spell mercy. But I heard James turn around and said, you folks that don't show mercy, you're never going to receive mercy. Let me go a little further. And mercy rejoices against judgment. That's the one thing that gets happy in heaven when God's getting ready to judge somebody and the mercy of God jumps up and said, I'd rather pardon you than punish you. I wish I could get a witness right now. Are there any parents here? Never mind the fakers. I mean parents. Real parents, that you know that when your children do something stupid or bad, yeah, you might get miffed, you might get upset, you might get perturbed, but before you bring judgment, you're going to show grace, you're going to show mercy, you're going to show kindness. You're not going to let somebody else punish your kids. And I realize sometimes you look at people and say, well, they never punish their kids, they never, oh yeah, that you can't give them too much mercy. I got parents in this place right now. Your kids are all spaced out on drugs. They're in and out of jail. They're doing all kinds of stupid stuff. Let me tell you something before I quit. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't write them off. Don't turn around and say they're incorrigible. There is nobody incorrigible to the love and the grace of Jesus Christ. There is nobody beside His ability that He can recover and bring people back. If you were outside, not relationship, but fellowship with God right now this morning, you used to have the Holy Ghost, you were baptized in Jesus' name, or you walked with God in some measure, whatever you had, would you literally want God to just bring correction on you instead of conversion? Would you rather have God just slam the hammer down and straighten you out, or would you rather have the grace of God? And the mercy of God. No, I'm not getting to you yet. I can't get to you. Yeah. How? Come on. When God says to Himself, how shall I write you off, Ephraim? How shall I bring you into judgment, Judah, Jerusalem, Israel? How can I turn you into those two cities on the plain that I burned into ashes with Sodom and Gomorrah? He's asking a question of Himself. And He answers it, saying, watch this. This is so fun. If you don't shout on this, you probably need to go to a Pentecostal church. You ready? Here's what He answers. I will not. I will not take him out. I will not write him off. I will not give up on him. I will not say, no, 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 no. I thank God for those divine I will nots. Because every one of us have times where we end up in a stupid situation and the judgment of God could have come, but the grace and mercy of God said, I will not judge you. I will not damn you. I will not condemn you. I will pardon you. If there's anybody in this house who's ever been pardoned, I'm waiting on you. Well, that's still not good. I will not judge you. I will not write you off. I will not turn you into crispy critters like those two cities. I love you so much, I'm going to afford you grace and forgiveness and restoration and mercy. And if you have received mercy, you ought to say something about it right now. I don't care whether you're living right or not. If you've got mercy in your life, you ought to bow your head or lift your voice and say, He's not dealt with me according to my sins. He's not rewarded me according to my iniquities. But as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. That's it? That's as good as it gets? That's it? Okay. I'll try to do a few more moments. You know, sometimes I'm messed up. I think I have a blockbuster message, and then the audience says, nah, ain't worth flip. I think this is so great. Ron, you're on your way to Germany, you and Gracie, fine. You got to go over there. Here's what you got to tell them from J.W. Arnold. They must meet the love of God before they meet the judgment and the correction of God. People will repent. People will apologize. People will turn around if they are persuaded and convinced I'm loved by God. See, without the love of God in the picture, all you have is the judgment, the condemnation, the holiness, the righteousness of God. That stuff scares us. That doesn't inspire us. It scares us. I know my daughter's here. She doesn't like me to bring her out, so I won't. And her hubby's here, and he don't like it either. But being I'm the only dad you've had, every year when we have her birthday and we have Mother's Day, old Popsy always wires roses. Don't I, Dina? Every year to my little girl. To my sweet little girl from her dad. Love you. You're my sweetie pie. And she tells me every time when I talk to her, she told me this past week, she said, all the office was coming in to see the flowers. Now, it's only $60 or $70 worth of flowers, but what an impact it made on some people who didn't have a father to love them. Sometimes you can help people understand how much God loves them by you loving your loved ones and loving your friends and loving other people. I don't think people need so much a sermon in words as they need a sermon in deeds. They need to be able to see every backslider in this city or in this house. You need to understand something. God loves you. He does not hate you. He does not want you destroyed. He does not want you written off. He has no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked would repent, that the wicked would turn around, that the wicked would be convinced that he loves me. And until you're believing he loves you, you'll never repent. I want to say something here as a private commercial to somebody in this house that I know. I'm not going to call your name, but I know this right now. There's somebody that I love very dearly in this house that you have a problem, and I'm going to tell you what it is. I know it. He says, the reason why you don't repent and the reason why you don't seek for the Holy Ghost or get baptized in Jesus' name is because you have been convinced that you are not worthy. Let me help you with this. The incarnation and Calvary has made you worthy. When Jesus Christ died in my place and your place, he said, I accept you as you are. You are worthy now. Woo! You may not feel worthy, but you are worthy. Because the blood makes you worthy. Because the love of God makes you worthy. Don't sit down. You folks that are standing up, turn around and shout at some people that are sitting there doing their mummy impersonation. Just shout at them real now and say, I'm loved by a love that won't let me go. I'm sorry if I hurt you. I'm sorry if I disappointed you. I'm just a person. I'm not perfect. I'm just a person. But there's a God that says, I will not give you up. I will not give you up. I will not give you up. That's what the gospel is all about. That's what Calvary is all about. That's what the blood is all about. He will not give you up. Please forgive me if somehow I'm not preaching good. I used to preach real good when I was the pastor, but I'm not the pastor no more. So somehow I lost some kind of anointing that had my position. So I'm just a visiting minister. Hope somebody gives me a check. Everett, you're so faithful in you and your sweetheart here week after week after week. You two need to understand something. He loves you unconditionally. And if we would believe that, see, we got to do two things. We got to believe that God loves us unconditionally. Wait a minute. And then we have to personally experience that. There are too many people in this auditorium. You do believe that God loves you, but you never take time to experience it. That's the wonderful baptism of the Holy Ghost. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. I want to go a little further right now, mess with your theology. You can love God, and God can love you, and you ain't got to feel nothing. Because I've told you before, there's two aspects of loving. One is feeling, and one is willing. How could God command anybody, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength? How can you command somebody to love? You make them will to love. I don't feel love, but I will to love. And if you are willing to love God, the feeling will come. You here again? You have no idea how happy I am when you're here, Dawn. I am serious. I'm not trying to pick on you. Don't leave here. Is that Susan? My God in heaven. I looked there before and I said, what used to be Susan London, years and years ago, one of our girls, hit a few bumps in the road. You ready, Susan? You got to meet the love of God before you meet the laws of God. That's why it behooves us to go as often as we can back to Calvary. Because there, the love of God is demonstrated to the whole world. I have no animosity towards anybody. I don't hate anybody. I don't despise. You got to believe me when I'm telling you. God has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. God does not want anybody to perish. He wants people to come to repentance. He's not trying to be Lord over people. He's not trying to rule over us with rules and regulations. You know, I've been coming home to the redhead for 50 plus years. And I just love her. And I hope I don't get in trouble with you. It's been a while since I felt that deep romantic love. I'm on Geritol. Yeah. I'm not fixing to raise a basketball team, okay? You know. You're not getting it. See, some of you are smirking. Oh. When we were first young and married, we fogged up the windows. And after a while, we just gave them stupid looks. And then you get to that certain age where you say, see you in the morning. You ready? I don't love any less. The same thing happens about serving the Lord. You're intoxicated with Him. You're just fat. You can't get enough church. You can't get enough Holy Ghost. Then after a while, you settle down a little bit. And then after you've served the Lord for a long, long, long time, that effervescence, that blow up, that emotional ecstasy may not be there every service. Don't let the devil tell you you don't love God. You still love God. You're just in a different level. Did I just help somebody? Did I just help somebody? I used to battle in my mind all the time because I had nobody in Pentecost to talk to me. Nobody cared for me. I didn't have no friends. I did everything by myself. I used to wonder why I reached a level where I didn't have that. Woo! And every time you went to church, you didn't go. And you used to think I was backslid. There's something wrong with me. I don't love God anymore. I don't understand why I'm just not breaking out in this euphoric explosion all the time. I see a few people going, bunch of cowards. You ought to go. I gave the redhead flowers too. And I gave her a card and I gave her a box. You ready for this? Romance. One kiss. Forty-5 years ago. Now you're laughing at my expense. Fine. And I'm on national TV. Fine. Listen to this. When you first got saved, after a while, you had to protect your image. Then after you got older, it's just like, somebody needs to pray right now. Restore the joy of thy salvation. Revive me. Set me on fire. I need a renewal. I need to love you like I need to love you with a depth of my soul. I know I've embarrassed some of you ladies right now. You can sit down. I'm sorry for doing that. I didn't mean to do that. But you understand that sometimes the lack of emotion has not stopped you from a depth of love. I have a depth of love. I walk in the house and my house is nice and my wife has everything clean and she's a great guy. She works cheap. I just have to feed her and give her a few things to wear. That's it. Does the cooking, does the washing. And I look at her sometimes and, boy, I better not say that. As Brother Teddy used to say, if you wonder where the wonder went, it went out with the wonder. Sometimes you just, boy, I'd like to, but I can't. But I want to. When I went, and we went shopping and had Camden and Dina out at the mall, and I know you folks got grandchildren, so you got this long before me, but I put them on that little bear that you had to pay 50 cents, and they ride that bear. He run me all over the place. I'm holding on to the tail. I'm going. He just laughs, and he crashes into the wall. He crashes into people, you know, and he's just having a ball, and I'd lean over and just hug him and kiss him and love him. I go, oh, just love this little guy. Just so happy to have a family, to have a good daughter, to have a fine son-in-law, to have a, just, I'm so thankful to have a good church, good people. Everything's not right, but everything doesn't have to be right in your life to show love, to appreciate love. You can show love for people. You can show kindness for people, even when there's some areas. I wish I could get a witness now. I will not. I will not. I will not enter the city and destroy. I love you too much. I am not going to punish you. I am going to pardon you. If you've ever received pardon in the last 3 weeks, I want you to stand up, just clap, whistle, shake, run. Well, you don't know like I know. I said you don't know like I know. No, I don't have everything right in my life. No, I make some stupid maneuvers. No, I say things sometimes I shouldn't say. But I got a God in glory that says, I will not give up on you. I will not write you off. I will not expose your mistakes. I will not embarrass your mistakes. I will not tell people what you failed to do. And God help us as a church. We don't need to do that either. I didn't mention you, Alex. Good to have you home with us. You can just leave the kid and go home. It's fine. Amen. Be seated. Give me just 5 more minutes. I'm trying to help somebody. I'm trying to help somebody. The cross. I'm trying to help somebody.
The cross that I laid down upon, it was not mine. It was yours.
Mm.
It was your cross that I carried. The enemy wanted to destroy you. The enemy wanted to imprison you. I was offered a way out, but I would not take it. The beating that I took, it was your beating.
Poof.
The suffering that I suffered, it was your suffering. The yes. Fear.
Oh.
They would replace your fear. I did this for you. I love you. And I rebuke kings for you. And I rebuke nations for you.
Woo.
And I rebuke the enemy for you. And I would not let you go. And I would not let you go to hell. Because I love you this much. How much do you love me? Will you receive my love? There are consequences to rejecting the love of Christ. Will you receive my love?
We need to stand and worship God. We need to stand. We need to pray. We need to come to the altar. We need to make an altar. Come on. What a word from the Lord. What a word. What a word. What a word. Come on. Believe that God loves you. Believe that God cares for you. When I read that chapter in Hosea, I will not. I will not. When Satan challenges us, God says, I will not judge them. I will not write them off. I will not give up on them. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Oh, Aeon, I'm so glad to see you. I pray for you today. I pray for you. I pray for Dina Leanne. I pray for little. Every day of my life, I plead the blood of Jesus over Aeon and over Camden and over Dina Leanne and over my wife. Every day when I pray, I plead the blood of Jesus over every one of you sweet saints, young and old, sinners and backsliders. I don't want you. Watch what God is saying. My heart is turned within me. You know what he's saying? Heaven is in upheaval. The heart of God is in upheaval. I know you deserve justice and judgment, but I delight in mercy. And mercy is pleading for you to be forgiven. And mercy is pleading for you to be restored. And mercy is pleading for you to experience pardon and not punishment. Please don't leave this service today thinking that God wants to punish you. He loathes to punish us. He doesn't want to punish us. Did you hear what the prophecy said? I took your beating. I carried your sins. All that happened to me belonged to you. And I took it because I love you. And I want you to win in life. Come on, I've spoken longer. You got to pray. Come on, you need to pray. Every backslider in the church. Everybody that's got a little cold. Kim, I know I met you. I'm sorry I didn't mention you. So glad to have you home with us.